We ask God to bless the word today. Psalms 23, the 23rd chapter of Psalms. It's precious Psalms where we're in this book now, maybe 12, 13, 14, pretty soon. Messages, and this, the Lord is helping me. I need his help to break down and to look into this chapter of the book of Psalms. Psalms, you just cannot rush the Word of God to get the Word of God in your spirit. And you have to take time and go over it, meditate, to really get the Word of God in your mind, in your spirit, in your heart. It takes a while. It's only the Holy Spirit that can touch you. You have to be serious about the Word. It is not something that you just grab a verse or two verses and you run and you stay there. The next day you get a verse, but you have to eat all of the Word of God. Eat the roll. The scripture tells us when the Lord said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, eat what is set before you." I think it's in the the third chapter or of Ezekiel, where the Lord Ezekiel chapter. Chapter 3, where is it? Where? Verse? Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 3. Is that where it is? Where it says, "Son of man, eat that which is which I have set before thee." Yes, in chapter 3 of Ezekiel. Okay? He said, "And he said unto me, and he said unto me," go to verse 1. "Moreover, he said unto me," that's God. That's the Lord speaking right there. Let's get these scriptures there. "He said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest." So to find it, you have to seek it, search. "When you shall search for me with all your heart, you will find me. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you." So, Son of man, he says, "Eat that thou findest." Eat this roll, the Word of God. You have it before you. He said, "Eat this roll. Then go and speak unto the house of Israel." In other words, if a preacher was not eating, he has no business trying to preach or teach or speak. Because first you have to eat. Amen. Then it says that, "So I open my mouth." That's where you eat, right? Your mouth. Yes. "And he caused me to eat this role." For us, it's this role, the Word. Amen. That role. And he said unto me, "Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this role." Get filled up. See, not just a little part. Some people satisfy with a small part of God's word, just a few verses, and they live on that. You know, they claim a few promises and that's it, and they're satisfied with that, and they're gonna get all they can from God by that one or two verses. But he says that, then did I eat it? He obeyed. And it was in my mouth as sweet, in my mouth as honey for sweetness. I like how the church is quiet. You don't read, eh? Then he says, then did I, and he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Where are we now?
Verse 3.
And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. He filled his mouth. Then, next verse says, and he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my word, my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strayed speech or of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. See, God told him to eat the word, and in his mouth would be sweetness as honey, but his belly, what verse? Is the sweetness was in his mouth, okay? As sweetness as honey. He had that that sweetness in his mouth, but first he had to be filled up. He had to be filled up. First you have to be filled up with the roll. That's the word. That's the bread. And Jesus, in the 6th chapter of John, over in the 6th chapter of John, where Jesus showed that he was the roll, is the word, is the bread of life. John chapter 6, verse, where he said that he was the word. Jesus is the word, is the bread. 51 of John 6, 51. Go there quickly. John 6, verse 51. I am the living bread. That's what you need to be filled up with this morning. I am the living bread. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Everybody's hungry.
Yes.
And this is bread, not, this is not natural bread. This is bread for your spirit.
Yes.
You have to eat.
Yes.
If you don't eat naturally, you die.
Yes.
If you don't eat spiritually, you die.
Yes.
You have to feed your spirit, man.
Amen.
So he said, I am the living bread which came down
from heaven.
If any man eat of this bread, that's himself, he, notice, he shall live forever. So this is everlasting life. This bread gives everlasting life. He shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. You remember he gave his flesh, he died, which I will give for the life of the world. And so the Jews, they were upset about this. And they murmur, because how could he give his flesh? But he was the bread of life. Jesus Christ was the bread of life. And you have to eat this bread. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And in the Psalms, 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me, notice, he leadeth me beside the still waters. We had that in this morning lesson for Revelations chapter 7, where he will lead us to living fountains of water in the 7th chapter of Revelations. Then he said, he restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely, thou preparest, rather, a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Notice, he prepared a table in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. And my cup runneth over with this anointing, with this oil. Now Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 1, you remember Hebrews, I think, chapter 1, because he loved righteousness. Go there quickly. Because he loved righteousness. Hebrews 1, verse 9. He said, because thou hast loved righteousness. Focus on all these words. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, because thou hast loved righteousness and hate iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellow. The oil of gladness above thy fellow. He loves righteousness and hates iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellow. So back in Psalms 23, verse 5 says, in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now in Hebrews, Jesus Christ was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. That's us. Okay? That's us, because he's the great high priest that was anointed as the head. But that anointing, the same anointing, ran down his beard, his skirts, all the way down to his feet, touching all the members of the body. So Christ is the head, and we are the members of the body with the same anointing. But the anointing in Hebrews is called the oil of gladness. Because he loves righteousness and hates iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee, him, Jesus, with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Now, the same anointing flows down to us. And Psalm says, back in Psalms 23, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, a table was spread for Jesus in the presence of his enemies. Also, a table is spread for us. Amen. And Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness, and we also are anointed with the oil of gladness. So he said that thou anointest my head with oil, my cup run it over. My cup, run it over with that anointing. That means you're filled with the anointing. The same anointing that Jesus had or received. You and I today have the same anointing. I notice that our cups must be full. My cup is full. and it's running over. Said, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over with the oil of gladness, with that oil of joy." Now that's the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, because he loves righteousness and hated iniquity, he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellow. But notice back in Psalms, he said that, go back up to verse 3, where he leadeth me, yes, he restored my soul. Then he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Okay? So, because he loves righteousness and hate iniquity, God anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellow. And because he leads us in the paths of righteousness, we are also anointed with the same oil. The oil of gladness. Now, that oil and that that oil of gladness, that your cup is full. Yes, sir. See, when you're filled with your cup is full, that is immortality.
Amen.
That is eternal life.
Hallelujah.
Because it's the Spirit that gives life.
Amen.
The flesh profiteth nothing, but the Spirit gives life. So the psalmist said, My cup is full. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. My cup is full. Do you understand where God is getting us to? Where we must be filled up with the Holy Spirit. Be not filled with wine where there's excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, that's God filling you up with immortality, with eternal life. See, the same life, Spirit, that was upon Jesus, God is giving it to you. And that's all, receive it. To them who by patience, continuing in well-doing, seek for glory, an honor, immortality, eternal life. So that's what we are. And then he restored our soul. Our cup is full. Go down to the next verse. And running over. Our cup's filled. And it's running over. Verse 5 says, thou preparest a table before me. Next verse, 6. Then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness and mercy. That's life. Goodness and mercy. That's eternal life. Notice that it's not coming, but it's here.
Yes.
Mercy, goodness, and mercy. That's eternal life. Because your cup is full. It's full with what? Immortality.
Hallelujah.
You're filled up with eternal life. That's what he fills you up with.
Yes.
Now, he fills you with life. I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So, when he fills you with the same Spirit, the scripture said, if the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, that Spirit will quicken you. It will quicken our mortal bodies. So he came to give us life. He filled us with he that have the Son of Life. That's eternal life. When you have Jesus Christ, you have life, immortality. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I notice that there's no break in it, but it's one continuous thing.
Amen.
And I will dwell where?
In the house.
I will dwell in the presence of God, the house of the Lord.
Amen.
It's not talking about just this building, but it's the presence of God. I will dwell in the house of the Lord
forever.
For how long?
Forever
is eternal life, is immortality. So when he anoints you with eternal life, the oil of gladness, it's the same oil that Jesus was anointed with. because he loved righteousness. And because you love Christ, them that love me, the scripture says in the beautiful scripture that little Jonathan read last week from Proverbs 8 verse 20. Look at that quickly. In Proverbs chapter 8 verse 20. Says verse 20. Verse 20. Go down there. Said, I lead in the way of righteousness. That's Jesus. We're the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Now notice here in Proverbs, he's a shepherd. And where does he lead us? The paths of righteousness. And where does the path of righteousness lead us? In life. See? Righteousness, when he leads us into righteousness, that's life. That's eternal life. So I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. And I will fill, there it is, their treasures. My cup is full. You ought to be shouting and running over. Surely goodness, immortality, eternal life shall follow me all the days of my life. We have no fear of death. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord, not for 70 years or 50 years or 100 years, but forever. Everlasting life. That's everlasting life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then he says that I may cause those that love me, that I may cause those that love me to inherit eternal life. Okay? When you love the Son of God, John says you have eternal life. And I will fill their treasures. We have this treasure, an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways before his work of old. Go on. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with waters, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth. And this is where you ought to shout now. And my delights were with the sons of men. So let me just say this. Your relationship with Christ goes a long ways. Way back there. Okay? Now you figure it out how far back. If you think it's just 20 years ago or when you accepted Christ as Calvary, well, but it seems to me that we have a long time relationship, because from way back there, he's telling us that his delights were with the sons of man before anything was created. And verse now therefore. He said, because of this, this relationship we had, we go a long ways back. All right? Not just a few. We go back a long time. We've been friends a long time. I've been carrying you a long time. In other words, I've been leading you as a shepherd in the ways of righteousness. I lead in the ways of righteousness. I lead you beside still waters. And way back there, I've been leading you. Then we find in Revelation 7 that he's still leading us.
Amen.
Okay? He's leading us beside fountains of living waters. He leads us beside still waters. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And when we stumble, he restores our soul. He leads us into green pastures. So we have a long time relationship before the mountains were formed or anything. We were with him. Hallelujah. Now therefore, because of this great relationship that we've had together, he's saying, hearken unto me. Listen to what I'm telling you. If I've been leading you all that far, protecting you, can you trust me now to go all the way? Oh, you children. For blessed are they that keep my ways. That's the path of righteousness. That's the ways of righteousness. Hear instruction. And be wise. And don't turn back on it. Don't turn your back on it. Don't put it off. Don't refuse it, but accept it. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily, my Lord, watching daily at my gates. Hold on, the gates. So there's so many gates because you wake up and there's the gates of praise, rejoicing. I mean, you know, you begin to watch for the move of God, for what God is saying. Watching daily at my gates. Then, not just running off, but waiting, watching and waiting. At the posts of my doors. Praise God. Because he come from the throne of God out there with a message. And that's your word for the day.
Praise God.
I mean, everybody's trying to give you a word for the day. But why don't you begin to take it from Christ? Why don't you sit at the door, at the gates, and wait for him to come out with a message? Because remember now, he leads us in green pastures. For whosoever findeth me, look what you're going to find. Life, eternal life, when you find him, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, wrongeth his own soul. All they that love me, is it? All they that hate me, notice, all they that hate me love death. All right, listen. All they that hate Christ, you love Satan, who is death. Hebrews 2:14, Christ came to destroy him that has the power of death. So when you hate Christ, you love death. Satan is death. That's what he is. So, when you love Christ, you love righteousness, which is life. But when you hate Christ, you love death. But we don't love death.
No.
We love Jesus Christ with all our hearts. Amen?
Amen. God.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, let me go into some more lessons here. Time is almost gone, but time goes by so quickly. The psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." In John chapter 10 chapter, let's get there quickly, where Jesus showed that he was the good shepherd. Last week, if you remember, in Zechariah chapter 11, we have Christ as the good shepherd, but we also have another shepherd called a false shepherd. Remember we touched those last week?
Amen.
You can go back and listen to the CD. The good shepherd who gave his life, and he was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Remember?
Yeah.
And he was hated back there. They did not love him at all. But in John, the 10th chapter, verse 11 says, "I am the good shepherd." Let's go through quickly. "I am the good shepherd," verse 11, "the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." Now, but let's back up a little bit, okay, because it's good. "Verily, verily," verse 1, "I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Verse 2 says, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them," notice, "and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow." In Zechariah chapter 11, chapter 10. Goes with John chapter 10. "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not the things they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep," notice, "the sheep did not hear them, did not follow them. I am the door." Are you underlining those? Following? "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures." That's green pastures. That is where the shepherd leads you. See, that's Psalms 23. "The thief cometh not, but for to," one, "steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." I am, he's saying it again, the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth them." Next verse. "The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not," he doesn't care, "for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. Now all this explains itself. Okay. Next verse. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have. Aren't you glad? Here we are. We weren't back there, but here we are today. Which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay down my life of myself. I have power to lay down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Is that it? There was a difference between the Jews and so on, saying, oh, and many of them said, he had a devil, he's mad. Why hearest ye him? They condemned him. And others said, there are not, these are not the words of him that at a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem at the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Then down, go down a little more, pick it up later down, in verse 35. My sheep know my voice. Verse 27. My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See? He leadeth them. The Lord is their shepherd. And I give unto them, notice what he does. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And they shall never perish. Read. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then they took up stone. The next verse, 32. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from the Father, or from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Then go down a little bit. You can read the rest for yourself, but go down to what verse? Okay. They wanted to stone Jesus, okay? But the Jews answer, okay, verse 33. Okay. But the point I want to show you is that Jesus the shepherd, all right? Because I want to go somewhere else. And time is against me. So we find out and we notice that Jesus, the Lord, is my shepherd. And he leads you all the way. Okay? Now, a shepherd goes before and lead the flock. And I want to get into a little lesson right here. Turn to, I don't know how much time I have. Turn to Exodus, the 33rd chapter. Let's get into this lesson. A beautiful lesson. I have to take my time here to show you, to bring it out. And it actually also goes into prophecies. Beautiful prophecies. That, but in the, you know the story of Esau and Jacob. Everybody know? Everybody listening? You know the story of Esau and Jacob. Esau and Jacob were brothers. And Esau, the story, they were, and Jacob, they were wrestling from the womb. And the prophecy was told to the mother that two nations was in her womb and one would be greater than the other. And the last would rule over the first. Esau was the firstborn. Now, Isaac loves Esau, but was it Rebekah? She loves Jacob. And the story goes, when Esau sold his birthright for a morsel, a bowl of soup, but then he wanted it back later, but he couldn't get it back, all right? Jacob received it, and he wanted to kill Jacob, so Jacob had to run away. Went to Laban's house, got married, got a bunch of children. The time came he was to go back home to face also Esau. So the story here in the, I know you know the story, so I'm just going quickly here. In Genesis chapter 33, verse, where, is it 33 where, I'm in Exodus, but it's in Genesis 33. After he wrestled with the angel, he goes back. And he's going here in 33, and you remember he met and he sent the droves and he gave Esau a gift, right? But going down to verse 9, and Esau said, I have enough, my brother, keep that thou hast unto thee thyself. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I have seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Verse 11 now. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he heard him and he took it. Jacob is a gift blind at the eyes. He's using diplomacy, which is, it's all right. And he said, follow me now. Now you have to pay attention. And he said, and I hope I can finish it, because it's beautiful. And he said, let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. Notice here, I will go before thee. Who's talking? Who's talking? Esau. Isn't Esau talking right there?
Yes.
He said, now let's go. Who has been leading Jacob all the while? He wrestled with the Lord, wrestled with the angel. Lord, my shepherd. But now, here's where, if you're not careful, the devil will trip you up. How Esau subtly, and the devil, said to Jacob, come on, let's join, follow me. And he said, and I will go before thee. But it was the Lord that was leading Jacob all the time. But now Esau said, I will go before thee. Next verse now. And he said unto him, I wish you'd come alive. Somebody roll or over. We'll just come alive and get this. How subtle the devil works. And he said unto me, my Lord, know it. No, he said unto him, my Lord, know it, that the children are tender, and the flocks and the herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Read on. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant. In other words, you go on. You go back to your religion. Go back to your mountain. follow your move, follow your vision, but I'm not going to follow you. In other words, the trick of the devil was to, right there, mix them up and get Jacob, Israel, following the wrong thing. You don't understand fully yet, but by the time this message will over today, tonight, you will understand what I'm saying. Can't rush it. How subtle the devil get into your life when you're not looking, if you're not looking. But remember now, Jacob just came out of a wrestling match all night with the Lord. He prayed.
Amen.
He had a name change. He wasn't the same Jacob. He was a different person. See, and a lot of people look at you the same way they knew you back there. But they don't know that you've been wrestling. They don't know that you've been in a fight. And your name is changed. You're not the same person, but you have a new name. And you don't follow everybody. You have to be led. Not by men. Notice. But by the Spirit. He said, let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over. You go on before his servant. And I will lead on softly. You're not listening. Softly. You can't ace it. You got to softly, still. Be still and know that I'm God. I will pass over softly according to the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord and to Seir. Say, you go ahead. But Jacob wasn't going to go to Seir. He said, you pass on and go on, and I catch up with you, but I cannot rush the flock. I cannot rush the young one. I cannot rush the cattle. They are with young ones. I cannot rush the church. I cannot build it according to men's idea, organization. But I've got to pass over softly. We've got to walk softly before God. We've got to move according to the revelation. Amen. We've got to follow the footstep of the flock, the shepherd's tent. You don't do it because a fellowship said do that. Or someone, an headquarter controlling you. Or telling you what to do. You do it because you're led by the Spirit. Because it's as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And Esau said, let me now leave. Notice here. If you won't follow me, let me leave some of my elders with you. You didn't get it. Let me leave some of my deacons with you. Let me leave some of my ideas from the fellowship with you. From my move. From my organization. Let them help you. And Esau said, let me now leave with thee some of the folks that are with me. So they can penetrate the womb of your church. Do you understand what happened? A mixed multitude. How does the devil get a church off the track? Mixing it up. They're leaving the path of righteousness and join with everything. So Esau said, let me leave some of the men with you that are with me. And he said, what needed it? We don't need it. I said, we already have an order from God. We already have a revelation from God. We already hear the voice of God. We've been following the word of God. There's no need to turn aside. Solomon says, don't turn aside to the companions, the Esau's, but follow the footstep of the flock. Jacob said there, Noah said, I was Jacob back there when you know me, the supplanter, but now I have wrestled with the Lord, and as a prince, I have found favor with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And why should I go with you to Mount Seir? I'm looking for another mountain. I'm going somewhere else. I have another commission.
Hallelujah.
I'm not going to the same mountain. We are heading to Mount Zion. Come on, we're heading to the hills of God. And he said, what needed it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. So Esau, notice, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't just drink everything. Everybody invites you and you go over and you drink everything. Come on, we're having this over here. And you head to them and follow them to their mountain. But you've got to follow grace. You've got to follow truth. You've got to follow righteousness. He said, in the ways of righteousness. So, verse 16 says, so Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. He was going to Seir. You'll find out later on down the road, maybe tonight, Seir. I think one writer, one preacher described it as the Shaggy Mountain. See, you understand? It's going over to those hills, Petra, where the giants are from. Anyway, it was not a good mountain. We'll get to that pretty soon. But Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him an house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of the of that place is called Succoth. And Jacob, next verse. And Jacob came to Shechem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan Aram and pitched his tent there, his tent before the city. And he brought a parcel of field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces. See, so he was not following him. Now, here I have a few more minutes, right? I'm going to touch it. If Jacob had followed Esau, he would have ended up into Mount Seir. He would have, you remember now, Jacob had the birthright.
Yeah, that's right.
And Esau had nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, you would understand now the mistake that Jacob would have made.
Yeah.
The history.
Yeah.
Now, in Malachi, you've got to go to the prophets and find out later on what goes on to understand the scripture. Now, let me go forward to Malachi chapter 1. Go there. And you'll begin to get this more. Malachi, because this is so beautiful. And when you see that, you understand. I said, oh, my Lord. God really leads his people. He's a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
Things that you and I cannot see, the danger, the future. But he not only leads you for the present, but for the future. And how it's important to commit yourself on your ways and be led of the Spirit and not by men.
Yes.
Now here is what would have happened. Esau wanted to lead Jacob.
Yes.
Mix it all up.
Yes.
So we would have no Israel. We would have they would have become one mixed up tribe. We would have no Messiah because all the women, that lineage would have been defiled.
Yep.
Okay? But in Malachi chapter 1, and let's read. Please find it and read with me. And you're going to begin to get it. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Notice, read it loud. I have loved you,
said
the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Wasn't he? Question, yes. Said the Lord,
yes.
Yet I love Jacob, and I hated Esau. Come on, church. And laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Do you see where Esau, if Jacob had followed Esau, where he would be? Esau would have led him to a bare, empty waste mountains filled with dragons of the wilderness. Hold on now. Remember now, Jacob of I love. Go back up to verse 2. Jacob of I love. I have loved you. He loved Jacob. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Yes, said the Lord. Yet I love Jacob. And I hated Esau. What would have happened if Jacob had followed Esau? He would come under the curse. He would be out of the will of God. Because he was in the love of God. Jacob of I love, but Esau of I hated. And he would have been gone where God hate and despise. Hallelujah. Do you understand? You follow and follow, you don't know who you're following. It's the end. You've got to have a vision to look down the road and see what's going to happen, how it's going to end up. It might look good and comfortable. No, let's help you. Let's ease some of the burden. But watch the end now. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And you know, I've heard mixed up preacher don't even understand. How could God hate a little baby Esau? They don't know the word of God. They don't know the prophecies. They don't know what's going on. They cannot see the future or the past. So they just throw off their mouth. How could God hate a little baby? Read the scriptures, man. Follow the prophets. I want to show you now. I want to show you. Let's go on. He said, and I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom said, that's Esau. Edom is Esau. Mount Seir is Esau. Whereas Edom said, read, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate place. In other words, yeah, I might be down right now, impoverished, but I can fight. I can work my way out. I don't need God. I can work it out. You ever hear people like that? Oh, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm going through, brother. I'm having a little problem, but it's going to be all right. I don't need any help. I know how. Esau never depend on God. Esau depend on his own abilities. Most of God, a lot of people do that. Their sense, their wisdom, their education. They don't need God. They can solve their problems. They don't need God. And Esau never needed God. He never called on God. And it says that his mountain was, he was impoverished. And yet, but yet will, he said, but we will return and build the desolate places. Not to God, but we're going to prosper. We'll get out of the ditch. We'll dig our way out. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. They shall build. Notice it. But I will throw down. And they shall call them. Notice there. They shall call them what? The borders of wickedness. Where was Esau leading Jacob? Where he would have led him? Where God didn't love. Place that God didn't love. A desolate place. And the borders of wickedness. You didn't get that. I say you didn't get that. When you miss God and he's not your shepherd, you're going to end up at the borders of wickedness. Huh. Oh yes. Who's leading you? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. But here it says that Esau, they said, oh, we'll build, but God said, I'm going to throw it down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness and the people against whom the Lord, read it, have indignation forever. In other words, that curse will never be lifted. So you got to be careful who you're following, what you're listening to. Somebody ought to shout this morning. So that's why you got to have the Lord as your shepherd. Because he says that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not under the curse. Not by the borders of wickedness. And your eyes shall see. And you shall say. Look at this. Look at this. The Lord will be magnified. From where? From the border of Israel. So there's two borders. One, you have the border of wickedness. But you have the border of Jacob. The border of Israel. Which is, as a prince, you found favor with God. Righteousness. A righteous border. So you follow the Lord. Let him be your shepherd. And you will be led to the borders of righteousness. You'll be led to the borders of Israel. Not to the borders of wickedness. Next verse says. Then hold on to that. But let me go to Romans. Go to Romans quickly, 9. Let me link it up in Romans 9. Start at verse 1. Paul was speaking. Romans 9, verse 1. Get there. I say the truth in Christ and I lie not. My conscience, are you reading? My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great evidence and continual sorrow in my heart. Next verse. For I could wish that I myself was accursed for Christ, from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Who are Israel? To whom pertain, next verse, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, glory, the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Look at all what Jacob would have missed by following Esau. Verse 5, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God had taken done effect. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. 6, 7. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of God are the children of the promise, are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall give a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah, follow now, when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even her father, Isaac. This is it now. This is it. Esau and Jacob again. For the children being not yet born, neither have done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that call it. Hold on. Not of work. Election now. You see, you understand? If Jacob had joined to himself with Esau, it would be an elect joining an unelect. Yes.
Come on.
You didn't get that.
Yes.
a non-elect would be leading an elect. This is serious. God's not joking. And whether you like it or not, God's not planning according to what you like or I like. He planned according to his divine will, purpose. So he said, it was said unto her, to, you know the story in Genesis 25. We don't have time to go there right now. The elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved. There it is again. Malachi. But Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Paul said, God forbid. And here comes some preacher trying to point out, how could God love Esau? I mean, Jacob and hate Esau. But Paul was right. For he said to Moses, here it is, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that will it, nor of him that work it, that run it, but of God that showeth mercy. Hold on, hold on. It is not of him that will it, or of him that run it, but of God. It's all of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He restored my soul. It's all the mercies of God. It's not of him that will it or run it, but it's of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's the mercy of God. It's him that showeth mercy. Verse 17. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same cause, purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. But look at you this morning, listening to the word of God. Look at you sitting there. It's not because you will or because you run or because you're better, but it's because of the mercy. It's because of the mercies of God. That's why you're here. That's why you're listening to this word. That's why you can say, yes, I love you, Jesus. That's why you can accept it. Amen. It's according to the election of grace. It's because of the mercies of God why we did not end up at the borders of wickedness. But God deliver us and lead us to the border of Israel, the border of righteousness. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hallelujah. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Therefore, hath he mercy in whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. 19 says, what wilt thou say unto me? Why doeth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou? Come on, who art thou? Who are you? Shall the clay say to the potter, what are you making? If he wants to make a dishonorable vessel of it, nobody can stop him. If you want to make an honorable vessel, nobody can stop him. Who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me black? Why did you make me white? Why did you make me a Jamaican? Why did you make me I got you. Why did you make me thus? Why is my brother taller than I am? Who art thou? Come on, who art thou? We are just the clay. We cannot, oh man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? And not the potter, power over the clay, yes, of the same lump, of the same clay, to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor. What if God, oh, you need to shout, what if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessel of mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, because I'm a vessel of mercy. Hallelujah. And God wants to show his mercy and his love and his goodness upon us, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Amen. You remember Proverbs?
Yes.
His delight. He saw something out there, not because we were better, but his delight were with the sons of men.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next verse, come on. Even us, whom he had called, not of the Jew only, but also of the Gentiles, both. And he didn't call you if you were a Gentile. He did not call you to be a Jew. And if you're a Jew, he did not call you to be a Gentile.
Amen.
But he called us to be a brand new man.
Amen.
A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. That's zealous of good works. That's what we are. Amen. As he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass, in closing, that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Somebody shout. Somebody shout. Praise God. Amen.